Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
G'day guys, welcome back to the Rugby League Guru Podcast. Apologies for my voice, it is in all sorts. Picked up a cold over the last few days and I'm really battling with it, hence the lack of content on the Rugby League Guru Podcast over the next few days. But we will have beers and break-evens coming for you very soon, so stay tuned for that. It's available on YouTube now if you want to go and have a look at it. But plenty more content to come on the Rugby League Guru Podcast. Probably not as much as usual though, as I try to avoid dying. But let's get stuck into my Supercoach draft from the weekend. And obviously had a bad loss last week, lost to Kurt. When I say bad loss, I mean that I underperformed last week. My team went pretty shit. And I said to you guys, oh, next week's probably going to be a pretty boring one because I only have about 8 or 9 players. It's going to be a shit fight. Nathan Cleary's not playing. Sonny Luke's not playing. A lot of my, you know, key spine guys and my, you know, obviously my number one draft pick weren't playing. So I thought, oh, I'm next to no hope in this game, which I probably should have been next to no hope, to be fair, but good God, we pulled an absolute fucking miracle this week. Unbelievable. We did manage to win. I think we started the weekend with 9 players, 8 players, and we ended up grabbing one more just to ensure the win. I'll talk about that soon, but a wild week. Anything can happen in draft, and when I tell you the whole story, you'll be blown away. I cannot believe I won. Unreal, though. Did get very lucky. A lot of my players went unbelievably well. Had Corey Horsbury in my front row. He obviously scored 2 tries, just missed tonning up. I managed to waiver the highest point scorer of the entire week, Marcelo Montoya. So did have a few things go my way. There's no doubt about that. But at the end of the season, when I'm looking back and I got those 2 points, who gives a fuck? I got them. I found a way to get them. So very, very happy with that. And the team, it's starting to come together. We had a few other little wins throughout the weekend, which I will talk about. But yeah, all going well. It's amazing how quickly everything can change in a week or 10 days. When I was sitting there with the rub down, I was sort of thinking, fuck, I've got a big task ahead of me over the next few weeks. I kind of thought I've got a big task ahead of me over the next few months, but it's slowly just started to work itself out. And I now think I'm sitting in a pretty good spot this season. So we'll go through my game. I took on Greg, one of the older fellas in our comp, and he's got a pretty handy side, to be fair. I thought he took a couple of rogue draft picks. He's the one that took Sean O'Sullivan, pick number 2, which I thought was outrageous, to be fair. SOS has done pretty well by SOS standards, but still Supercoach-wise not scoring overly well. So no stranger to a bit of a rogue pick, Greg. He also took Johnny Bateman, which sort of helped me on the weekend as well. He obviously didn't score incredibly well. His first game in that heat was pretty tough. But we'll kick off with the start of the week. I can't remember who I dropped from my team. I think I dropped Tommy Talau. And I wanted to get a CTW off the waiver. There were not many guys there. There weren't many at all. I ended up going for Brad Parker from the Manly Seagulls. I just think that him on that left edge with Turbo inside him and with Josh Schuster there, the way that he's squaring guys up and the way that they're playing, I just think he'll fall over for enough tries, Brad Parker. So picked him up off the waiver wire. It was his 100th game on the weekend. Obviously, he scored a meat pie. Only scored 40 points, though, to be honest with you. So you take that away, he would have scored 23 odds. So not overly impressive, let's be perfectly fucking honest here. I need more than that from Brad Parker moving forward, but I think he is a guy that at different points throughout the season, he will score me enough tries to be relevant. So I started off with Brad Parker, who got a 40. On the other side of the board, Greg had Micah Sivo, who scored a 73. Junior Bolo got a 51. And Tui Pilotto, who got a 26. So when Micah Sivo scored his 73, I sort of thought, okay, well, fuck. I'm already in some serious trouble here. I'm probably out of this now. Then came the Dolphins game. And keep in mind, we were up at Rockhampton. So I was actually live on stage doing the show when all this was happening. But my Dolphins boys did pretty well, to be fair. Jermaine Osako, 81. And Connolly Lumelu scored 64. Now, he's one of my big wins this week. I drafted him 2 weeks ago. Sorry, I wavered him 2 weeks ago. I think I had waiver 10 out of 14 or something. And for me to get to him, I thought was fucking outrageous. Obviously available at CTW, but you saw on the weekend, Kenny Bromwich, he shifted into the 13 role, and Connolly played on the left edge. So I've managed to pick myself up off the waiver wire a CTW who plays back row for big minutes. So I'm absolutely fucking stoked with that. Felice Kaufusi, at the time of recording, I'm not sure what the result of his judiciary hearing is, but I think that would just about lock Connolly in for the next 3 weeks, and I think he's going to earn himself a spot on that edge anyway. So absolutely stoked with that waiver pick. It was unreal. So Jermaine Osako got 81. Connolly got 64. And I actually had the VC on Jermaine Osako. So an 81 would have been really handy as my VC. But as I said to you guys, I was on stage at the time. So I wasn't watching the game overly closely. And you might remember that Osako scored his two tries in the last 5 or 10 minutes. By that point, Greg's two players, Sean O'Sullivan, had done pretty well, but his main one was Lockie Miller, who got a 98, and I was just sitting there. I saw Lockie Miller score both of his tries, and I thought, okay, that's me officially done. I'm just going to get drunk tonight. I'm going to enjoy myself in Rockhampton, not going to worry about my fucking draft team at all. Little did I know that Jermaine Osako scored two tries in the final few minutes, and I could have taken him as a VC, which would have made things very interesting. Instead, I just left my VC on Cody Walker, just thinking, oh, we'll see what happens. He's probably the most likely guy to go 100-plus, even though that's very unlikely. But I thought, out of all my fellas, he's probably most likely. So left the captain on Cody Walker, who got 42. A pretty shit score for a captain. Campbell Graham got a 91, so that was nice. But I woke up in the morning, checked the score and everything, and went, fuck, Osako actually did pretty well. If I would have taken his VC, would have been interesting. But I'm pretty sure I would have lost still anyway. Greg took Damien Cook as his captain, who got 55-odd or something along those lines, 58, something along those lines. So at that point, I sort of thought, okay, this weekend's done and dusted. Not much doing. I knew I was going to lose this anyway, so I'm completely fine with it. The other guys that Greg had on Saturday night, to be fair, were Victor Radley, who did well, a 53. But he also had Harm Seller, who only got 2, and at that point was on a 0 as well. So that sort of gave me a bit of a sniff back into this game, but I still thought I was no hope. I'd also been pondering the decision. I obviously drafted Campiera way too early in my draft. Turned out to be a really shit pick. And I was sitting there all day going, geez, do I just give... I've been thinking about it for 2 weeks now. Do I just give Campiera a few more weeks, see what happens, see if he scores tries? But my philosophy always is with CTWs, I don't want to be relying on tries. I want to have guys that get half-decent base that I know on a bad day they'll get me 30. Campiera on a good day might get me 30. So I made the decision that despite me drafting him really early, which I think is one thing I am very good at, I'm good at cutting ties with draft picks that I've fucked up. I'm more than happy to take risks, but I'm also more than willing to own them when I fuck them up and get rid of them and make a change for the better. So there was a guy on our waiver wire that had been sitting there, you know, the entire time that I thought, he's too good to be sitting there, but I can't fit him in my team right now. And I just thought, fuck, I'm going to grab him because he is simply just too good to be sitting there. And I think that he will score tries this year, and his base has been really good. And that was Marcelo Montoya. So I picked him up on Saturday morning, looked at his base last two games, 32, 28. He'd done really well. Hadn't scored any tries, and he'd still scored 38 and 28 in those two games. And I just thought, you know what? The tries will come. He's a great fourth CTW to have. So I picked him up. And I was funny. I was on the plane coming home from Rockhampton. And shout out to Qantas that have free Wi-Fi on their planes. I was watching the Titans and the Melbourne Storm game, and literally I had dropped Campiera as I was sitting in the airport with Timmy, Kempe, Matty, Gerald, those guys sitting there talking about and blah, blah, blah. Had two of the great wingers of all time, Kempe and Gerald Yaoye, with me, and they both sort of went, yeah, drop him, even though they've got no idea about Supercoach. Anyway, I'm sitting there on the plane. He scored the first two tries, and I've just gone, oh, my fucking God. He's 25 minutes into this game. He's on 58 points. This is unbelievable. This would only happen to me. The sympathy tissues came out, carrying on a fucking treat. Eventually landed in Sydney, and I think Campiera finished on 62. He got about 4 points in the last 60 minutes, and I thought, okay, That's why I dropped him, because he's that guy. And then only a few hours later, Marcelo Montoya put on an absolute show. 114 points, scored two tries, had 38 in base, which is exactly what I want to see. 25 hit-ups he took. Absolutely fucking love that. We said on Bloke and Bar a few weeks ago that Montoya's got the potential to be like a Manu Vadavai sort of figure over there, and I don't think he'll reach those heights, but I think he's starting to realise how big and how strong he is and how much extra work he has to do. So 114 from Marcelo Montoya, and I sort of sat there and went, oh, fuck, I might be a sniff here. I genuinely might be a chance to win this game out of absolutely nowhere. And that was all the players I had for Saturday, whereas Greg, he had Tommy Dearden, got a 39. Herbie Farmworth got a 52. So once Herbie Farmworth got his, you know, 40 or 50, I sort of thought, you know what? I can win this. I am well and truly in this. And I just sat there and went, fuck, if I would have taken the VC of Osaka, which if I was watching the game, I would have without a doubt, I'd be home and hosed here, but it has been made a little bit more difficult. So I had to make a decision. Am I going to drop one of my bench guys and grab an extra player? And I had a look through. The way that my team was structured, the only positions that I could pick up was hooker and halfback, which was Nathan Cleary and Sonny Luke in my team. I couldn't sub anyone else into my side, just the way it ended up. So I had to make a decision, who am I going to go for? And it came down to Kyle Flanagan or Danny Levi, and thank fuck I went for Flano. I had a feeling he might take the goal-kicking. I thought Canterbury would win and win well. Flano really did fuck all, but because he was goal-kicking, put together 47 points. On the other side of the coin, Danny Levi, he obviously lasted a minute or two. Or he didn't last very long, sorry. So that one worked in my favour. I dropped young Carl Oluwapu, which I didn't like dropping him. I still think he's going to come into first grade at some point this year. I think he's going to be super relevant, but I just decided, you know what, I've got a win here that's just begging for me to take it, so I'm going to do it. Little did I know, though, that Corey Horsburgh, he would score two tries and score 95 points, and that would lock it in for me. Teague Wilton also killed it, 68. Joe Tapanay, 63. And Sebastian Chris scored a 36, which I was more than happy with. So for Greg that afternoon, Toby Rudolph played really well, got a 61. Johnny Bateman, a 36 in his first game back. And Asu Kapoa, I think he was on about 33 at halftime. He finished on 39, so I probably got a little bit lucky there, but I ended up winning this game by 83 points, and I was two players short by the end of the weekend once I got Flano. So to score almost 800 points in a 14-man draft comp when I've only got 11 players, I'm short too. I was pretty happy with how that turned out. The guys I had sitting on my extended bench, Adam Elliott, Luciano Leilua, Jackson Ford, Jack DeBellin, Sonny Luke, Zach Hosking, Nathan Cleary. So all things considered, I was very, very happy to get the win here. I'm more than happy just to stack a couple of easy wins or a couple of lucky wins, whatever you want to call them, heading into the Origin period, because it is going to get tough after that. And it's post-Origin where I really start to get into my work and start planning for the back end of the season and start planning for finals and, you know, planning speculators and everything. So very, very happy to get away with a win this weekend. Probably one I didn't deserve. Probably got a little bit lucky, but very happy. And obviously, outside of the win, just a couple of little goals that I kicked throughout the weekend, getting Marcelo Montoya, who's a really good base guy, more than happy to have him on the team. I think that's going to turn out to be a really good pick. Corey Horsburgh scoring two tries and, you know, come out with a few match-winning plays. Love to see that. We just want Ricky Stewart to have more and more faith in him. Conley Lumelu, obviously moving to the edge, a huge win there as well. That's massive for me. And just Campbell Graham keeping up his work as well. We want that right side for South Sydney to be the strong side. If I've got Campbell Graham, it sucks because I've got Cody Walker. But yeah, just a couple of wins there that was really good. So, all as I said, it's funny how Supercoach Draft can change in 10 days. I obviously copped a lot of shit last week about my team and all this sort of stuff, but I'm always planning for the long game, and there's always guys that I pick up that might look a little bit strange at first, but then they eventually start to play out and they turn out to be good ones. And I think you can start to see that this weekend. So very, very exciting about where the draft team is going. It was looking a little bit grim last week, but as per usual, as time goes on, I will find a way to get up there. So let's have a look at round four. Coming into this week with a 2-1 record, which we really like, and we'd love to extend it out this week. And just having a look at my matchups and everything, I give myself a good hope. I will have a full 13 this week. I won't have an overly deep 13, but I will have 13, and it will be a good 13. Taking on Al, one of the champions in our comp. He won it last year. He's also another one like me that's won it twice. So good little matchup there, champion fella as well. Now, when I have a look through my team for this week, I think it sort of picks itself. I don't think I've got too many decisions that I have to make realistically. Jack DeBellin, still not named, so that's not ideal for me realistically. I would have liked to have seen him named, so I'll be running without him. But everyone else in my starting side has been named. I will have a CTW, so I've got to pick out a Campbell Graham, Sebastian Chris, Montoya, Lumelu or Brad Parker. Which one of them I don't play, and the other one will probably be my AE option there. So I might actually put one of those CTWs on the bench and see how they score, then make a decision what I do with Jack DeBellin, whether I keep his zero and just take the good AE that'll hopefully be on my bench, or if I just pick up a random second rower and chuck them in there. So sitting in a pretty good spot this week, whilst I've still got guys that I'm patiently waiting on, you know, Adam Elliott's, Leigh Lewis, Hoskins, these sort of guys, I'm happy to just sit on my hands there. So the rest of the side has all been named and is all ready to go. Yeah, so let's have a look at my game this weekend. So I will have, of course, the Penrith Panthers. They open up this round taking on the Parramatta Eels. So I'm pretty happy with that matchup. I do think Parramatta bounce back eventually, and it might be this game that they do. So might not be an ideal one for me, but it will be a game that I'm able just to VC Nath Cleary in this one. I'll have Sonny Luke in this one too. Alan's got my boy Isaac Tungo, so that could be a tough little watch. It'll really sting me if he scores a few meat pies against me. The next game, we've got the Melbourne Storm taking on the West Tigers. I've got no players from this game here, none at all. Whereas on the other side of the park, Alan's got Jerome Hughes, Josh King, Remus Smith. Jerome Hughes, that's obviously pending his judiciary hearing. There's a chance that he might be suspended this week. I believe he is going to challenge it. So fingers crossed he loses and we don't have to deal with him. That'd be great. The games after that, just getting them up on my app because the NRL site has shit itself. 8 p.m. Friday night, we've got the Dolphins taking on the Broncos. Local derby there, so I've got Isako and Lumelu. Happy with those two. Won't be like a VC game for Isako or anything, but I think that he will be keen to go up against his old side. And Lumelu in the CTW is playing second row. Absolutely love that. And Alan in this one, he's got Tessie New, so it'll be interesting to see which wing gets more ball there. Jermaine Isako or Tessie New, the two wingers for the Dolphins playing in this one. Now, the games on Super Saturday, the first one, there's only two games on Saturday, three games Sunday, so that makes life very interesting. Saturday, 5:30, we've got the Cowboys taking on the Gold Coast Titans. I don't have anyone in this game at all. I don't have a single Cowboy. I don't have a single Titan. On the other side of the park, Alan has got Taumalolo, Mofotawaka, and Jeremiah Nanai. An interesting one there. Hopefully the Titans can get a win because I'm a little bit worried about what Taumalolo could do. Ruben Cotter not playing in this one. That probably does mean extended minutes for Taumalolo, but he has got AJ Brimson as well, who will be his skipper, I would assume. Maybe the game up in North Queensland might scare him off a little bit, but I'm actually tipping the Titans to pull an upset in this game, to be honest with you. So that one's going to be a nervous watch for me with no players. I hate when you've got no players and the other team has a few of their guns, like Brimson, Taumalolo, Nanai, and you're just watching them stack up points. Fuck, it can be a nervous watch. Later that night, we've got the South Sydney Rabbitohs taking on the Manly Seagulls from Macquarie Stadium. I have got my South Sydney boys, Cody Walker and Campbell Graham. I will also have Brad Parker, probably as my AE, to make a decision on whether I use him or not. So hopefully he can score a meat pie and get me 40 or 50. I'll happily take that. But yeah, I'm not overly confident on Cody Walker as it stands right now. Probably won't give him a VC or a C or anything like that. I'll just leave him and hopefully he can pull some attacking stats. Campbell Graham, though, he's looking fantastic. Another guy I won't VC or C in this game. But I'm hoping that he can just base me out, 40 to 50 with a bit of upside there. In this game, has Alan got anyone? No, Alan doesn't have anyone. Interesting. Big South Sydney fan. No bunnies in his side. I think I remember that from draft day. Now I say it. Sunday, 2 p.m., we've got the Warriors taking on the Canterbury Bulldogs. Obviously, I've got my Warriors here, Marcelo Montoya and Jackson Ford. Every time the ball goes to the left, I'll be getting very, very excited. So keen to have a little stack in that. For the Bulldogs, Al's got a few here. He's got Reid Marnie, Maxi King, Josh Adokar. So hopefully the Warriors can put up a good fight here. That one, I think that'll be a pretty crucial game for our game. It'll obviously, whoever scores more points and whatnot, there'll be more attacking stats going the way of one of us. So fingers crossed that one falls my way. The Knights play the Raiders, 4 o'clock Sunday, Arvo. I've got my Raiders boys, Joe Tapanay, Corey Horsburgh, and Sebastian Chris. Alan's got, geez, another one of my boys, Jacko Hastings. That's going to be an interesting watch there. So hopefully the Canberra forward pack is on. Joe Tapanay, Corey Horsworth, they can combine to give me 130. Just stoked with that. That'll be unreal. And hopefully Sebastian Chris, he can pick up an attacking start somewhere. Really looking forward to seeing him return to centre, which is wild. Normally you'd always want guys at fullback. But I'm more than happy to have Seb Chris at centre outside Jackie Boy Whiten. Last game of the week, the Raiders and the Sharks. Al doesn't have any guys in this game. I've got Jack DeBellin and Teague Wilton. So Jack DeBellin will be my AE. And then Teague Wilton is my other guy there. So hopefully he can pull another 60 or so. Maybe even a try in the local derby for Teague Wilton. That'd be great. So as it stands right now, sitting pretty confidently for this week. I think I am in for a good one. He's got a couple of injured players as well. Jojo Fifita, Luke Thompson. Other guys he's got on his bench include Tarek Sims, Finucane, Jaden Sewer. None of those guys alarm me all that much, to be honest with you. So I'll take a punt on Brad Parker. Hopefully he can get a good score on my extended bench. If not, I'll probably just move Kyle Flanagan to a 2RF, and I'll probably just play there and just get a safe 40 to 50, hopefully. So pretty confident heading into this week. Things have turned around pretty damn quickly. Everything's looking a little bit better, and I'm really, really excited to see how the Penrith Panthers go coming off their bye.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
So excited to see how they respond to a pretty poor 2 weeks, an opportunity to regroup, and hopefully, Nath, he can go on to have the season that I thought he was going to have all along. So that's our draft review, guys. Apologies for my voice. That is dying on me very, very slowly. But that's our draft review for round 3 and our preview for round 4. As I said, probably drop Flano to the waiver wire and maybe pick like a back row up to plug in for Jack DeBellin. But we'll see how we go there. If there's no value there, I might just hold on to Flano realistically. Goal kicking for the Canterbury Bulldogs now. Don't hate it. Should always goal kick his way to a decent score at halfback if I have injuries or whatever. So see how it plays out, but that's our review and preview, guys. Best of luck with your draft teams this weekend. Make good decisions, make good waivers, and hopefully get those Ws.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.